John, the 17th chapter. John chapter 17 and page 1139 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Page 1139. We'll read the first five verses responsively and also going on then to include the 13th verse. So we'll read responsively verses 1 through 5 of chapter 17 and we'll read together the 13th verse. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And now together, please, on verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And the text verse is that last verse we read, the 13th verse. And may we pray together. Father, we praise thee and give thanks today that thou hast led us to this place once again. And we're, of course, so grateful for our church. Thank you for these many friends with whom we fellowship and worship. Thank you for these who are strangers among us and yet not strangers. We pray that thou wouldst bless us together, that thou wouldst grant thy presence and thy power both upon the listener and upon the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Holy Father, our Heavenly Father and the Father of our Savior, meet thou with us now for these minutes in a specially sweet way. Amen. Before I bring the message, I sense that you're a little warm. Is that true? How many are warm? Would you raise your hand? Maybe let's knock it down 1 degree all the way around, would you? And 24 years ago, this week, I stood before the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, where our son Dave is now pastoring. And shocked to the foundation, our people. I'd only been there for a little less than 7 years, but I became the pastor of the church when it only had 44 people. It had grown to the place to where one person out of every seven, one home out of every seven, in the city of Garland, the people that lived there were members of our church. I doubt if I ever knew a church that saturated a city, a little city of 27,000 people then, about 160,000 people now. But at that time, about 27,000 people. And I doubt very seriously if I ever heard or knew a church that more saturated a city. I announced my resignation, and this may shock you, but the church, everybody there was saved under my ministry, just about, and I was the only preacher most of them ever known. And I've never seen a service in such bedlam as people began to cry out loud, and some hollered, and for just about, I guess, for an hour, nobody said a word. We just all cried. I remember one of our ladies went outside the door, and as I walked out, she was standing in the shadows, and she was saying, Dear Lord, Middle Road Baptist Church without Brother Hiles is like a home without a mother. That's been 24 years ago this week when I resigned my pastorate there. There was a city councilman. It's very interesting. I won him to Christ, but it's interesting how I did it. After I'd been in Garland about 2 or 3 years, I decided to take a stand on some issues and some terrible things going on in the public schools. There were no Christian schools, fundamental schools back in those days, so I took a tremendous stand. And word got out that there was a movement in town to try to run me out of town. And somebody said there's a petition up, run Hiles out of town. Well, Mayor Walker, mayor of the city, was a friend of mine, and I contacted Mayor Walker, and I said, "Mayor, you heard anything about this?" He said, I can't tell you, Reverend. He said, "I can't tell you." But he was not a member of our church. Mayor Walker wasn't, but he was a Baptist and was my friend. And so he said, if I were you, I'd suggest you go see Mrs. So-and-so. Well, Mrs. So-and-so was a city councilman's wife. She had never seen me, but she was the gal that had heard about me, and she was trying to get a petition up to run Hiles out of town. And so, anyway, I went to her house one night, and I never forget, it was snowing. It hardly ever snows in Texas, but it was snowing a little bit. And she didn't know me, never met me, but she hated me. Most people that hate me never met me, because to know me is to... But anyway, I decided to really snowball her, whatever that means. So I got a few snowballs that night, but I walked up, knocked on the door, and she came to the door. Now, bear in mind, she didn't know who I was. Never seen me. And I said, "How do you do? How are you today?" And she said, "Fine. How are you?" And I said, "Fine." And her little daughter, about 12 years old, was looking around, "Mother." And I said, "Is that your sister?" And she said, no, that's my daughter." No, I said, "There's no way a woman as young looking as you are can have a daughter that old." Well, she said, "We married young." Everybody says that. 35, you know, or so. And she said, we married young. And I said, "Oh, me." I said, "I can't believe it." I said, "I'd like to know what kind of vitamins you take." And so we talked a while. And she liked me. I mean, boy, we hit it off real well. And so our little girl walked in, about 3 years old. And I said, "Hey, you're the cutest thing I've seen in a long time. You know who you look like? You look like your mother." "Yes, you do." And I said, "I hope you grow up and look like her, too." "Well, thank you," said the mother. And I said, "By the way, I'm Jack Hiles." She dropped her mouth about a foot, and it was big enough. And she said, "You're Pastor Jack Hiles?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And then she said to me, she said, "Reverend, I never met you before, but," she said, "I already know half the things I've heard about you, at least, are not true." I wanted to say, "Ma'am, the other half aren't either." But anyway, that night, on a snowy night, I won the city councilman's wife to Jesus. And she said, "Would you come back later? My husband's here." And I did, and the city councilman was there, and I won him to Christ that night. All that to say this: when I left the city 24 years ago, that councilman, though he never joined our church, stood and said to the city council, and I'm boasting a little bit, and I realize that, and I'm at your mercy. But he said to the city council, he said, "Men," he said, "I don't really know this, not," but he said, "Reverend Hiles is leaving Miller Road Baptist Church." Now, bear in mind that nobody ever ran for office without getting our... See, with one family out of seven, we couldn't elect anybody. We could sway any election. If two fellows running, we could decide who won. All of our folks voted for him. Church of 4,000 people, a town of about 27,000 people. And anyway, he said, the city councilman said, "Men," he said, "Reverend Hiles leading Miller Road Baptist Church." And he said, "As far as I'm concerned, for our city," he said, "this is the greatest loss our town could have." He said, "Reverend Hiles," and this is an amazing statement, He said, Reverend Hiles has been God's conduit for 7 years. God's conduit for 7 years. We've been swimming in the ocean of God's love for 7 or 8 Sundays. And that love was first demonstrated between the Trinity, as I said last Sunday. God the Father loved God the Son. And God the Father loved God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son loved God the Father. And God the Son loved God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit loved God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit loved God the Son. It was so easy for them to convey their love to each other. There was no problem. Deity, loving deity, and deity returning love to deity. The conveying of that amazing love was no problem. It was understood completely. Then God made man in his image. In his image? Yes. What is the image of God? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says Jesus is the express image of God. So God made man like Jesus. That's the way God made us. In the image of God made he them, male and female. And it says in Colossians, it says, for in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so God made man in the image of God. And it was no problem for man and God to fellowship with each other. I'm sorry. There was no problem for that love to be expressed and that love to be conveyed. Because man was like Jesus. And then something happened. The conduit was broken. Man sinned. Now God still had the love. And man still hungered for the love. But man had no way to receive it. Man had no way. The Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. The natural man understandeth not the things of God. And so because of that, now we have fallen man, who in his original, unfallen state, could receive and understand the love of God, but in his fallen state, could not comprehend the love of God. God still had this amazing love for man. And man still hungered for it. And I don't care who you are. There's not a person in this room this morning so far away from God what you don't hunger for the love of God. You may not know you hunger for it, but you do hunger for it. And so God had it. And man hungered for it. And yet there was no way to convey it. I mean, here was God who is love, and he was man who needed to be the recipient of that love and nobody. But man did not have the frequency. Man did not have the right frequency to receive the love of God. Man did not have the conveyor. There was nothing about the love of God in his perfection that could cause man in his imperfection to comprehend so great a love. Can you imagine that? Listen to me. Can you imagine loving and not being able to say it? And if you say it, the object doesn't understand it. Can you imagine loving and not being able to write it so the object can read it? Can you imagine loving and having no way to convey your love to the object? Jesus said, Father, I'll go to earth and I will convey your love to man. Now, could I, for example, for a moment, please, could I be not an injustice to the Scriptures, but may I do a little mild fantasizing for a minute? Jesus said, Father, I know that man can't understand your love. Man's natural, and your spirit, your great heart, cannot be conveyed to man. Father, let me go. I'll go to earth. And I think the Heavenly Father may have said, but son, I'll miss you. I've been conveying my love to you and you conveying your love to me. Our fellowship has been eternal and sweet and I'll miss you. And Jesus said, but Father, I won't be gone long. And God the Father said, well, then hurry, Jesus. I want you back here because I want us to enjoy the expression of our love like we always have. And Jesus said, Father, I'll just go long enough to convey to man your love. Brother, if you ever wonder if God loves you, you look at the life of Jesus. You see God saying goodbye to his Son. And you see the Son leaving the portals of glory. And you see him coming to an earth that rejected him and hated him, becoming a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief and despised and rejected of men and hated him. No place to lay his head at night and nobody to understand him or comprehend him. And you see him going to the hall of the high priest and on to Pilate and on to Herod and back to Pilate. And you see him tried wrongfully and beaten brutally and crucified unjustly. If you ever wonder about the love of God for you, you just take a look at Calvary. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of God conveyed to man. He came for a few years and showed us and conveyed to us the love of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and man beheld it. And then Jesus told those to whom he conveyed the Father's love, he told them how they too could convey the Father's love and how they could teach others to convey it. What does that mean? Here's what it means that I'm a conduit. Now, what is this conduit? It's what that city councilman said. He said, Reverend Hiles, for 7 years, has been a conduit. It means that over here on this side is the marvelous love of God. And over here on this side is man who needs to know of the love of God, who hungers for the love of God, though he does not know it. And through man runs the love of God. And our job is to act as a conduit, saying, Lord, let your love flow through me. And so what do? Now, that conduit right there is not worth a dime. And there's where most of us are today. Unused conduit. Did you ever stop to think about this, folks? This amazing love we've talked about for these last 8 Sundays now. This unbelievable, eternal love of God, incomparable love of God. That amazing deity's love. Did you know that you and I are privileged to be the conveyors, the conduit through which that love flows? Listen to me. You look at this body. Frail and weak this morning. I told Dr. Cowles Peter, he's outside the office door. I said, Doc, come in. I got a back that's bothering me. Give me an adjustment. He put the pillow on my back and said, lean back like this. I lean back like that. And he cracked me to pieces. He likes to kill you. Don't ever go to him for an adjustment. But anyway, he cracked me real good. I said, Doc, had a little ruptured blood vessel here. I said, Doc, what do you do for that? I said, I put a little vitamin E out of a little capsule, 400 units last night in it. I said, is that okay? And he looked at me and he said, Doc, I had this same back trouble about 17 years ago. He said, you may have had it 17 years ago, but it's not the same reason as it was 17 years ago. I said, what's the reason now? He said, old age. I said, how about the eye, the broken blood vessel? He said, it's caused by all the liquor you drink. You know, if I had known that, I'd never drunk that stuff. I said, you don't get no sympathy. You ought to say, God bless you. I'm praying for you. You got a sore back and you got a ruptured blood vessel in your eye. But no sympathy. I don't get respect. And somebody said, okay, Rodney. I don't know who in the world he's talking about. Some guy named Rodney. But look at this body here now. Frail. Yeah. Weak. Yeah. Ruptured blood vessel in the eye? Yeah. Yeah. Weak back? Yeah. Weak brain? No. No. But look at it. This body, listen to me. This body not only is the recipient of the amazing, marvelous love of God, but this body is the conveyor of that love. Just as as an electrician will take a conduit, and this is the kind of thing that's between the walls and in the walls of your house. He'll take electrical wires and he'll use that conduit. And by the way, if that conduit doesn't work right, you're going to have a problem. He'll use that conduit and he'll push that those wires through that, and then he'll hook this up to the power, and the power will flow through that conduit, and this amazing power that can cause cars to run, that can cause washing machines to run, that can cause air conditioners to run, that can cause
air conditioners to run, that can cause air conditioners to run, bless God. And that amazing power, little old conduit, it has not worth a thing like that. But God takes something not worth a thing except to look through a beat with a coat over the head with. He takes something not worth very much, and man, electrician, takes that mighty power, and he runs those wires through that conduit, and then as he runs it through, he hooks it up on one side to the source of power, on the other side to the recipient of power, and that little useless piece of pipe becomes the conduit through which electricity can go. And one day God Almighty said to me, I want you to be my conduit. And God took his amazing love. Oh, what wonderful love. And God said, I'm going to run my love through your body, Jack, and I'm going to run my love. And if you'll hook up to the divine source of love, all the love that drew salvation's plan, all the grace that brought it down to man, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords, he said, I want you to be a conduit. So you can take my love and hook up to my love and go to poor fallen people and say, hold on to this, I'm a conduit. And God loves you. Ladies and gentlemen, you talk about an honor. When the love of God needs me as a conduit that it may flow its power through me, what an honor, what a privilege. I'm to tell it. I'm the first to tell about it, and second, I'm to demonstrate it. Almost a quarter of a century, I've stood behind this pulpit as your preacher. About this time of the year, I always get a little bit, introspective about it. My job for these 24 years is twofold, and if I've not done this, I've failed. My job has been first to tell you of his love. And by the way, I've done that. You know I've done that. Is anything that's gone forth in this poem? Oh, yes, I have conviction. Oh, yes, I believe in a burning hell. Oh, yes, I believe in the judgment of God. Oh, yes, I believe in the punishment of God. Oh, yes, I believe in God, God's chastisement. But let me tell you something. For 24 years, the love of God is thrown through this pulpit, and my job for these 24 years has been to be a conduit to tell you of the love of God. But there's something else. And that is, my job has been for 24 years to let this love pass through me to you. And your job, where you are, is to be a conduit of the love of God. If I can convince you of his love to you by telling you, I'll tell you. If I cannot convince you of his love to you by telling you, let me show you. Let me demonstrate it. Let me show you of his love. You've had ample opportunity to see my human frailties. And I don't cover them up. I don't act sanctimoniously. I don't act piously. If I cannot show you the love of Christ and tell you the love of Christ in simple terms, I won't tell you. If I cannot sincerely from my heart try to demonstrate to you the love of Christ and how God loves you, if I cannot do it by demonstration, I don't want to do it at all. But you've had ample opportunities to see my human frailties, and you know my feet of clay. And I've been a man walking among men for these years. But God knows this is true. For 24 years, I've held his hand. I have not always been the kind of pulpiteer I should have been. Nor have I always been what I wished I were. And mistakes are not hard for me to make. But the honest truth, and this is truth, I've never shortchanged you. I've never shortchanged you in 24 years when it comes to the throne of grace. I've been there. I've been there. I've been there. I can sing this morning, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And God knows this is true, like the old man that died about 10 years ago at St. Margaret's Hospital, member of this church, not an inner circle member, but he always came. And the old man looked up at me, and the last words he said before he went to the glory land, he said, Reverend, he said, thank you that for 14 years you've walked with God 6 days a week. And on Sunday,
You told us what he told you. And I come this morning to tell you that's what it's all about. There's no way in this world that Inland Steel is going to know the love of Christ unless you folks who work there are conduit. Somebody, listen, God is a spirit, and God cannot reveal his love. God manifested himself through Jesus, but he's gone, and God manifests his love through this book, but they don't read it. Somebody has got to say, folks, I'll be a conduit. Call me a nut if you care to. Call me a fanatic if you will. Well, I'm going to stand here at Inland Steel, and I'm going to be a conduit, and let the love of Christ roll through me to you. Somebody has got to do it. Ford Motor Company, and somebody's got to do it at Pullman Standard, and somebody's got to do it at Raw Knox, and somebody's got to do it at Dietrich. I want to tell you, listen, I do not know a greater honor. I do not know a greater honor than to have this love flow through me. Now, I don't know a greater thrill than to have this love flow to me. I mean, God loves me. God loves me. I don't understand it, but he does. I can't comprehend it, but he does. What an honor, what a joy, what a thrill. But, listen, there's more than that. This amazing love that has flown through others so I could see it. God now gives me an ample supply of that love and makes me a conduit. That's what the old councilman said when he said for 7 years, Reverend Hiles has been God's conduit. I don't know how long I'll be here. I was thinking, Mrs. Rose, how old was Henry? 85? Henry Rose was 4 years older than I am when I came here. And I do not know how long this conduit that you see will hold out. I do not know how long the schedule I keep, it'll still be able to But I pledge myself anew to try to be God's conduit in this town. I happen to love this city. It's not the scenic spot in the world, but it's God's place for me. And I happen to love it. And I happen to love this Calumet region. And my heart happens to go out for its citizens and its people. Somebody, yea, thousands of somebodies. Somebody needs to let these poor mothers, daughters over here in Harlot Row. Let me tell you something, folks. Over there in the red light district with the go-go girls, those are human beings. One day a mother held that girl in her arms with dreams and hopes. Look, don't cast him aside. Somebody's got to say, hey, look here. I'll be a conduit. The mighty power and love of Almighty God. I want you to see it. I want you to see it in me. I want you to see it in my compassion. I want you to see it in my unselfishness. I want you to see it in my forgiveness. I want you to see it in my love. I want you to see it in my life. Hey, look here. The love of God flows to you. And I'm the conduit to let you know of His love. There's a lady sitting in this audience this morning I'll never betray. Not one person here knows who it is. Not one human being but me. And that lady knows who it is and I'll never tell. I'll never tell anybody. Nobody. She sits in this audience this morning. She was a prostitute over here in Cayman City. A man patronized her. That man was brought to First Baptist Church of Hammond by a friend. And that man got saved that morning. He went back over here on State Street, Calumet City, where there was a prostitution, house prostitution. Went to that same prostitute he'd been patronizing. She met him at the door and he walked in and said, hold it, I've got a different mission this time. He said, last week I went to First Baptist Church down here on Sibley Street, and he said, something happened to me. That preacher told me that God loved me, and somebody told me about Jesus, and I got saved that Sunday morning. And he said to her,
I wish you had what I have. I've just come back to tell you what I got last Sunday morning. I wish you had it.
Just a few hours, there's a knock on my door, and I went to the door, and there stood a short, mini-skirted, harlot, plunging, neckline woman. And I said, what can I do for you? And she said, you don't know me, sir. But she said, I am a prostitute in Calumet City. And she said, one of my customers got saved at your church last week. And she said, he wished I had what he had. And I said to myself after that, I wish I had what he had too. She said, could you tell me how I can have what he had? Yeah. And I took the love of God and I just put it through a little conduit. Weighs about 100, none of your business, how many pounds? And I just became a conduit. And I said, now look. I said, right there is the love of God, and God holds that side. I said, you take hold of that side, and I guarantee you, you're going to feel some charges. And she came to Christ. Been now for years, been a member of this church. That's what it's all about. The love of Christ. How helpless God must feel. How helpless He must feel.
Wouldn't you feel helpless if you loved somebody and you loved them with all your heart, but you could not say, I love you, and if they did, you did, they couldn't understand it, and you could not write, and they could not read, and you had nothing to give, you had nothing to share, you had nothing that they would like to have that you have, but you could give them, and there was no way, no vocabulary, no way to say, I love you, and that's the way God is. God is helpless.
He's got to have a conduit. God said, I can't get the fallen man. I love him, but he doesn't know it.
There's no way for him to know it. And Jesus said, Father, let me go. Let me go. I'll go. I'll show him. I'll take that love from you, and I'll be a conduit.
For you can pass your love through me to them. And Jesus came, and he was that conduit. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and man understand it. Because there was God in that body, and there was man in that body. And there was the only one who's ever lived that could reach up and take the hand of God, and reach down and take the hand of man, and bring man to God, and make God, man, understand the love of God. And Jesus went back to heaven and said, now I want to take you apostles here. Now I want you now to do what I've done. You reach up and take the hand of God. You reach down and take the hand of fallen man. And let God's love flow through you like a conduit. He said, now when you leave and die, and pass off the scene. He said, before you leave, be sure you teach others how to be a conduit too. Don't you let the love of God just come to you and embrace you and delight you and thrill you and excite you. But you do more than that. You do more than receive the love of God. You be a conduit through which the love of God can flow so others can understand it. And every generation is supposed to tell the generation that follows it to be a conduit through which the love of God can flow. One of these days, the rest of us will pass off the scene. One after another, the old crowd is leaving. One after another, they are calling. Gently calling, they are calling me to come. I'm looking through the shadows to the blessed lights of home. It won't be long till all of us are gone. Young people, let me tell you something. Don't you let the love of God go undelivered when we're gone.
Don't you let the love of God have no conduit.
Don't you break the heart of God and condemn the soul of man, because there's no way for man to understand the love of God. Folks, people can't understand ideas unless those ideas are embodied or incarnate in flesh. A few people can understand patriotism, but not many. But everybody can understand a patriot.
A few people can understand what loyalty is, but not many. But everybody can understand a loyalist.
And nobody in his flesh can understand the love of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. Now get this. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. And that'd be a good motto verse for me. That the world may know and that my people may know that you've loved them. Otherwise, there's no way for that love to be transferred. Doing a little figuring this morning. I'll be 57, September 25th. I said September 25th. When I get to this, you can feel free to take notes if you'd like. In case you'd like to know, I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I like Frosties. I like Buster Bars. I like Cadillac cars. And in case you're making a shopping list for me. But I'll be 57. I'm not very smart. But I know that 13 and 57 is 70. And more than I want to live, I want you, my people, to be able to know the love of God. And to know that He loves you. And to find its truth as He uses me behind this pulpit. To be God's conduit. When Mayor Walker came to me and told me goodbye 24 years ago, he relayed to me what the councilman had said. He said, Reverend Hiles has been God's conduit for 7 years. As Mayor Walker left, I said to myself, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. God's conduit. Taking with this hand the mighty love of God and letting that love flow through this body. I reach down with this hand and say, take it, and you'll know the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Heavenly Father.